Jess Harding, how the hell are you?
Jesse Rivera, I am well. I'm waking up. I'm not a morning person.
No comics are.
Well, I have to be up early, like all weeks on a Saturday. I'm like, I'm dead.
Did you have to set an alarm today?
I did.
Sorry to make you set an alarm on
the
weekend.
Okay. No, it's good. It's good for me.
No, it is. And it kind of, let me give you props because you're the first comic to show up on time.
Oh, I'm very punctual.
Yeah. Everyone else has been like, and not horribly late, but like 15 minutes late is about the average, you know? So
I'll take that credit.
Yeah.
Good job. I'm usually the only comic on time for anything.
Well, a lot of times you're running the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many, go ahead. I'm going to talk. Sip your tea. I'm going to talk. I won't sip my coffee.
Pinkies up.
I know that you run the Golden Bear open mic, or you co-run them. Tell me about the mics. Let's talk about the mics first, and then we'll get into the shows.
Yeah. So Golden Bear was kind of an interesting start because they had a mixed mic for a while, and comics were trying to go up and go in between the musicians.
Oh.
It was on Tuesdays. Still happening. Golden Bear, check it out, Tuesdays. But I was like talking to Josh, who runs Golden Bear, and he wanted to do comedy, and I was like, we should do a separate open mic on Mondays just to give comics a space, because we know it's like so hard to do comedy in the middle of music. Like, nobody wants to shut up and listen to that.
No.
It's crazy. We were just like telling jokes to the first three people in front of us. So we started doing the open mic on Mondays. So it's a show that I produce, but I do have a co-host, Ray Dean. And then I do have like other guest hosts that come in because it's just hard, you know, every Monday. But it's been really cool. It kind of turned into a bit of a monster, like more than I was ready for. It became really popular, and there's like, you know, 30 plus comics every Monday. I have to say no to a few.
I went a couple of times, and it was overwhelming how many people were crammed into this tiny space. And first of all, Golden Bear, let me give props. Their food is off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I love their food. I don't drink, so I don't know if their drinks are great or if their drinks are cheap or what. But I think, no, one time I ordered like two tacos and a beer for like $8.
Yeah, their happy hour is good.
Yeah. So shout out to Golden Bear for, for good food and a good price, because comics don't always spend a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, so we ran into some issues with it, but we recently made some changes. So there's only pre-signups, and we're also kind of prepping the bar patrons for comedy. So now it's really quality. Like, people are super there for the show. There's people who are showing up on Mondays just to watch comedy. The comics who are coming kind of already know, like, we expect you to, you know, act a certain way. And it's good.
I think it's great. What made you... Okay, so the way you run the Golden Bear open mic, you put up a post the day before saying, my email is open for pre-signups.
Mm-hmm.
How overwhelming is the response from that?
Is
it just a handful, or is it overwhelming?
It's a lot usually, but it's so much easier than the latter, which is sitting at the table with 30 comics standing
yes.
in front of me.
Yes, yes.
Which makes me feel so anxious, and I'm like, please move, and they'll swarm.
Yeah. And then you do the pre-sign-up, and then because you post the list on the day of, and where how do you get the content from the list? Is that all from the emails?
Yeah, so it's all names from the emails. I do like a little bit of comedy God, but mostly randomly generated.
You have to, yeah.
I have to play God a little bit. There's just like some, can I swear? Some fuckers.
Yeah, say whatever the fuck you want.
There's some absolute fuckwads who kind of just do some shit that I don't like. So, you know. I weed them out, but mostly randomly generated.
Yeah.
I shouldn't tell anybody that.
No, but I think that, like, when I go to open mics, and I sit at an open mic, and I'll be sitting there, and I'll think, watching people, I'm like, this person prepared. Mm-hmm. This person prepared. This person's drunk, and they just want to talk.
Yeah, it's
they
like
have
therapy.
Nothing to say. This is just a rant. They didn't prepare. They're not respecting the microphone. They're not respecting comedy. I'm like, get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah, we should just like have like a horn or something we can honk.
The slide.
Brr, 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 brr. Punch it up.
I love a David Thorne slide whistle. Have you been to David Thorne's new mic? Well, it's Julian's old mic, but
at Players.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been killing it, David. I saw him like coming through with the production.
Yes.
He's got his whole soundboard. Good for him.
Yeah, I love David Thorne. One of my favorite people.
Yeah, David's great.
What made you decide to do that, the pre-sign up and all of that? Is it just so overwhelming, and that's how that helps you keep your sanity and it makes you love it, or else you'd be like, fuck this and stop doing it?
Yeah, it's just much easier to control all the factors. It's easier to control the crowd, like, in front of me, but it's also easier to control, like, the cadence of the show.
Right.
Like, if I know someone's a little bit newer, I might sandwich them between, like, two seasoned comics.
Yes.
Something like that, because then the people who are there just to watch comedy don't hate comedy for the rest of their life.
Right, because you don't just get, like, five shitty comics in a row, and they're like, I've got to go, and then they leave, and, like, the greats come up. Well, I wouldn't say great, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, they think that that's comedy. They don't realize, like, what is happening. You know? Yeah.
So, had you done comedy before? Okay, so you did not grow up in Sacramento, right?
No.
What? Tell me your backstory. Where'd you grow up? When did you land in Sacramento?
Yeah, I was, so I grew up in upstate New York, but I'm kind of like a split baby because my mom is from downstate, so she grew up like Bronx, Long Island, and then my dad is from like rural, like NASCAR, New York. So,
because like when you say upstate New York, I think Albany.
So yeah, that's kind of like eastern. I was western New York, so I grew up in Rochester.
Okay.
I know everybody thinks it's like New York City and then like cornfields, mm-hmm. and yeah. It mostly is. But there are three kind of major cities in northern New York. That's Rochester, Syracuse, Buffalo. So I was kind of in that little area.
Okay.
And then in 2020, pandemic hit. I lost my job. I was 24 and I had like a full like midlife crisis. So like if I live more than 49, it's not gonna work out really. But
I hope you do.
I don't know. I kind of hope I don't.
No. But stop. Well, wait. How old will I be? Maybe I'll even be around it.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to die. But no, it was really rough time. So I didn't really have anything like holding me to the area. So I just went to California, and I had a friend that was living out here, and I had visited Sacramento a few years before.
Okay.
So I kind of like was familiar with the area. I thought it was cool. I liked like the underdog city feel, you know, it's like underrated city, but it had a lot going for it. So I came out here, and then I started comedy. Would have been almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
We're coming up close-ish to 2 years.
Do you remember where, when?
Yeah, it was first open mic was at the Comedy Spot on Tuesday. And I think I had like 27 people come to watch.
What? How did you know that many people?
I don't even know who they were. Like, it was wild.
Uh-huh.
No, it was like really good friends, like very supportive. But I was overwhelmed too that many people came to support me. And I didn't realize how competitive that mic was. Like, you have to really be there and like get on the list. And I showed up like right at 7 or whatever time it was. And the list was full, and I had so many people with me, and they ended up squeezing me in for like 4 minutes, and they're like, okay, only because you brought like a ton of people.
Yeah. Do you remember who the host was?
It was Graciela, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So Graciela brought you up for the first time.
Yeah. I love Graciela also. Shout out Graciela.
Who doesn't love Graciela? I will fight them.
Yeah. Graciela's great. Yeah. It was good. And then I kind of was like, oh, I think this is possible. Like, I did it and I was like, this is not that far-fetched for me. So then I kept going. But it's kind of interesting how comedy like changes. So at first it's like this fun thing. You have a bunch of stuff that you like, thoughts that you've had or jokes you wrote on an airplane or whatever. But eventually you're like, I'm just like manufacturing comedy. I'm manufacturing funny, and it takes away like the fun a little bit.
Ooh, okay.
You know?
What made you jump in and do it? Was it something you thought about a lot, or was it, did, because I've talked to a lot of people, and the pandemic gave a lot of people this I got to do it now type feeling. Do you think that, how did, what made you jump on the stage at 24, right? 24, 25?
Oh, so this would have been 2 years ago. So I was 26.
So at 26, what made you jump on the stage? Like, why didn't you do it at 18, 19, 20?
I don't know. I think that I had been writing a lot for a while, and I had like enough to convince me that it was worth saying. And I just kind of kept reminding myself, like, it was so low stakes. Like, it's not like I'm going to get on the stage and suddenly, like, have to do this forever. Like, I could just try it, like, throw whatever at the wall, and if it sticks, it sticks, and then, you know, go from there.
And now, how big of a part of your life has comedy become? Like, can you see yourself walking away from it one day?
I genuinely feel like I created Frankenstein.
Wow, really?
I do. I was never planning on being, like, this balls deep in it.
You are, because, like, okay, so you run an open mic, and you run one mic or one?
So I have one open mic, and then I run three other rooms. One is on a pause because they had a fire. Shout out Streets. They might have, like, a fundraiser or something. So
I hope they do, because that's such a nice spot. It used to be Streets London. Now it's just Streets.
Streets Pub and Grub, yeah.
Yeah.
They recently had a fire, so I think they're probably looking for donations.
Okay, so, and then you do a show at the Golden Bear.
Yep, so that's my open mic, and then I have Streets, and then I have Touchstone Brewing. That just recently changed to a seasonal show. So we have one coming up October 27th.
Okay.
And then we'll do a winter, a spring, a summer kind of deal.
I like that idea. Was that your idea?
So it was sort of a collaborative project with the manager, Kristen, over there, because we were doing it monthly. And, I mean, to be frank, that is a granola crowd, right? We're at the climbing gym.
Yeah.
So it's, like, very PC, and sometimes comics can upset people. So we were like, how do we make this good?
Yeah.
So we decided to go seasonal and just bump up the names we're getting. So we're doing, like, only headliners.
Nice.
Just really good, solid. I think this first one, I've got Sarah Rucker, Ngao Balaam. I'm trying to remember.
Those are both already.
Rick Storr.
Yeah. Oh, Rick Storr is hilarious.
And Cookie Williams. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking around anymore.
No. Well, it's, I'm not going to say it's easier, but it's like the talent pool, when you have to do it monthly, it's hard, right?
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
And I mean, to a certain degree, I'm responsible for the comics and, like, what they say or what they deliver. And if somebody was really good one time and then they come to my show and they decide to do something crazy, I have to just be like, oh, but I swear I've never seen them do that before. I swear they're usually really great. Tonight they just decided to call Lizzo fat. I don't know what to tell you. That did happen.
I've produced a handful of shows, and doing a monthly show is so overwhelming. And at one point you had, like, two, three at the same time.
Yeah. So I have one more that I'm just starting, actually. October 13th is going to be Fox and Goose, on R Street. So they're trying to, like, kind of amp up more nighttime business for themselves. They're a real good breakfast spot. Mm-hmm. But they're open at night. They have a cool bar. So that's kind of the goal there. It's going to be on Fridays once a month with them.
Yeah. The very first comedy show I went to in Sacramento was at Fox and Goose.
Oh, really?
And it was a show that Emma Haney and Becky Lynn, I believe it was Emma Haney and Becky Lynn, produced together. And they called it, like, the token guy show, or, like, the something something and one token guy. So it would be all female comics.
Perfect.
And one guy.
It's hilarious.
And I think I saw that night, I think I went to go see my friend Ali Yeda. So Ali Yeda, Becky Lynn, Kim Martell, Emma Haney, and I think Alfonso Portello, who is a killer, by the way. Have you booked him?
Yeah. Alfonso is one of my favorite local comedians.
That guy is so amazing. Yeah. I talked, me and Taylor Evans talked about Alfonso last night, about how
he's solid,
animated he is on stage. And, like, yeah. I think to myself, like, I can never, I think I could be funny, but I could never be as animated as him. And
yeah, he's really good. He's one of the comedians that I'm convinced will be famous.
Man, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. And every time I see him, it's just like, it just blows. Like, I've never seen him, like, half-ass a set. Like, I've seen other people, like,
whole ass only.
Yeah, I've seen other people phone it in. Like, I've seen people phone it in, you know? I think, sure. I've phoned it in before,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I've never seen him do that.
Yeah, he's got two elbows, knees, everything's in it.
He's deep.
Yeah, he's deep.
He's deep. What? So, I think I want to give you kudos, because I think that your whole idea of co-producing is like twofold. It gives somebody else a chance to learn how to produce and run a show, but it also takes a lot of the mental stress and anxiety away from it. Is that why you did it? Because like, it's just overwhelming?
Yeah. You know, the thing with producing shows is you get through all the shows and then you're like, okay, they're done. But they're not, because you have to immediately be working on the next month. If you don't move on it, or like pre-book, it's like you're so behind, and oftentimes I feel like I am. So it's, the work is just like cyclical. So I would love to share it.
And how stressful is it to get that message the day of the show? Hey, Jess, I'm so sorry, but
oh my god, it happens.
It happens every show, so right? Does it happen every show?
Not every show, but okay. It happens quite a bit. And like the comics that repeatedly do that, I'm always like, oh, I love you so much as a comic and I really want to keep booking you, but I'm so nervous to book you because I'm like scrambling all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of comics. So we have quite a big pool here in Sacramento. So it's not that hard to find a fill-in. We have a lot.
Isn't it crazy like how many talented young comics there are right now? It's like I go to open mics and I'm like, I've always kind of had this imposter syndrome, which I think a lot of comics do. And I'll go to open mics and I'll see like these like freaking 24, 25, 22 year olds just fucking murdering.
Killing it, yeah.
And I'm like, what am I even doing here with my fucking old jokes?
You belong, for sure. Thank you. You fit right in.
Thank you. But right, like so much young talent.
Yeah, no, Sacramento amazes me in that way. Like we really do have a very rich comedy scene.
It's dope. What about like, I'm really tripping out on, and this is one of the reasons I brought the podcast back, and please forgive me if I'm using like the wrong terminology or if I'm identifying people the wrong way, but because you know I'm not a bad person, I try not to be, but how many talented girls there are right now, and how this clique of girls that are just banding together, mm-hmm. producing shows together, putting each other on shows, lifting each other up, these girl-only barbecues that are going on, and like, what have you seen?
Hobie-cues.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? So, talk to me a little bit about that. Are you in that? Do you feel it?
Yeah, the women really have banded together, and it's incredible. Actually, I feel very, very lucky to be surrounded by so many people. When I first started, I didn't feel that way. Some of the like comics that were kind of around when I was hitting the mics were like just very clicky. And people, you know, natural progression, natural selection. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't die. No. But they're like moved away or like found their own thing or whatever. Or they're doing something else. But right now we have such a solid group that's so supportive. And actually, Lexi Acinelli, just recently, we were talking about me taking a comedy break. And she was like, you're the unspoken leader of the women, like, comics.
I love, like, wait, let me pause it real quick. I fucking love Lexi.
Lexi's fantastic.
Go, you're the unspoken.
She's a perfect example of, like, a young talent that's just, like, murking it. Like, she's just killing everything. Like, she's so good. But yes, she told me I was, and I don't like imposter syndrome kicked in, right? I was like, no, I'm not. But I thought that was really sweet that she thought of me that way. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what I'm leading besides like, like us to like In and Out, but
what's your order at In and Out? What do you get?
Oh, I don't even know. Cause I'm East Coast, right? So like In and Out, even though I've been here for 4 years, In and Out is still like a new thing. Because their menu is so small, but it's really not, right? They have, like, so many things.
Yeah, I order off the menu all the time.
I truly don't know how to order at In-N-Out. I would love some... I'll take suggestions. I'm opening it to the public. Please DM me your In-N-Out order.
Next time we have a show together, let's do In-N-Out after the show.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, or you know what? The In-N-Out is the best on a road trip home. Remember the road trip we took?
Oh, yeah.
That was so dope. I was like...
And Avery for Angel's show.
I didn't want to drive that far. And I was like, just drive me.
I never wanted to drive that far again.
Oh my. We drove that far on a horrible night.
Yeah, I think, the like, weather was bad.
I think like driving that far tonight wouldn't be horrible, but that night it was horrible.
Also, though, East Coast was like
Oh, you're used to that kind of
yeah,
weather.
Yeah, I would drive through snowstorms and like skid through red lights like in a 95 Pontiac Grand Am. So that was nothing. I'm good. I got it.
That's great. I want to go back a little bit to what Lexi told you, because I am a big proponent of like I was talking to you earlier off the pod about how like I live up here by myself. All my family and my core is in Bakersfield. But when I came to Sacramento, like I really started like discovering my true self, my authentic self. A friend of mine told me yesterday, and I'm a big proponent of find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding your tribe amongst the comedy people? And then also like not only like am I big on find your tribe, but I'm also big on like it takes a village, and we all have our place. And I think when people like Lexi come up to you and trust you with something like because like. You have to think to yourself, it took courage for Lexi to say that to you. Like, you've got to be receptive of that and understand, oh, shit, this kind of is my role.
Mm.
Like, I'm taking, like, the good that I'm getting from this scene, I have to put it back. Are you finding yourself in that kind of position?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's really fantastic. I honestly feel bad because I'm such a bitch all the time.
I don't think you're a bitch. I think you're an East Coaster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even really like mean spirited. I'm just like, I'm very intense, and people are just like unrelentlessly loving and accepting me for that, which is just amazing. And I've definitely found that more so like in the comics than, you know, with regular people, because they're fine. You know, they can hopefully take a joke.
I mean, you're an upstate New Yorker finding yourself in Northern California, not Southern California or Central California, like hippie capital, Northern California.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, you came to like the, oh, let me give you a hug. Like, I once heard somebody describe like New Yorkers as like, get the fuck away from me. And Californians are like, come in, buddy. Let me give you a hug.
I'm definitely a get the fuck away from me. 100%. I actually, one of the reasons why I love comedy like from the get-go was the fist bumps. I was all about the fist bumps because like I'm a sweaty hand person and I don't like hugging.
Uh-huh.
So people were fist bumping me and I was like, fuck yeah, I don't have to touch anyone besides their knuckles.
Yeah, I'm all about the fist bump.
Yeah.
You have to like open, you have to make the gesture to hug me and I'll hug you, but like I'm gonna fist bump you all
yeah.
day long.
I don't initiate hugs unless they seem like sad, and then I'll like I'll like prep myself mentally. Like,
does that happen a lot at open mics? You see a lot of
yeah, actually.
Do you see a lot of sad people at open mics?
Comics are generally very depressed.
We're some dark motherfuckers.
Yeah.
As we sit here laughing this whole time, let me look at my notes really quick. Have a sip of your tea. Are you having fun, Jess?
I am. I love to talk. I'm a big talker. I can just gab all day.
Oh, good. Well, we're not going to do this all day, but we're going to do this for a few more minutes.
Dang.
I love that your world isn't just comedy. Just by following your social media, I know that you love to cook. You love going to festivals,
mm-hmm.
and you're very good at stepping away from comedy and having a life outside of comedy. How important do you feel that is to keep a balance in your sanity?
Yeah, I know I started to talk about it a little bit earlier, kind of feeling like I'm like manufacturing the jokes. Because I think naturally I feel like a funny person. Naturally I think of like the zingers all the time. But when I'm doing comedy, like, you know, 5 nights a week, it doesn't feel that way anymore. I'm starting to, like, push too hard.
Mm.
And it's almost like I'm trying to be funny, which, as we know, like, anytime someone's trying to be funny, it's not funny. So I kind of recognize that in myself when it's starting to feel too forced. And I got to, like, step back and, like, do other things that make me feel good. I like to rock climb. I like to go to music. I like to disassociate, stare at the wall. All those things.
Yeah. What's the most recent festival you've gone to music wise? You went to something very recently, right?
Yeah, I actually went to Soul Bloom, which is funny that you asked me, because I was really sad that one of my artists that I wanted to see dropped out.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm a little bitter about Soul Bloom.
You know what I love about festivals though is that like you go for a particular artist, but there's always at every festival I've gone to, there's always an artist that comes on early in the day and you're like, oh, I've heard of them. Let me go check them out.
Yeah.
And they fucking blow you
away.
And
they're amazing. Yeah.
Who? What happened? What artist did that to you most recently?
There's an artist, Duran something.
Go ahead and look it up.
I need to look it up. He was so good, you guys. Like,
what type of music is Soul Bloom? Like, tell me a little bit about that festival.
It was like hip hop, R&B.
Oh, okay.
But like emphasis on the R&B, like bubble bath music. So like everybody was sitting in the grass, like smoking weed all day. It was like pretty
nice.
Chill.
There's
a few like rappers and stuff, like Isaiah Rashad, but it was like mostly like Teyana Taylor, Mahalia. Like it was very chill.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Some soul music.
What's the festival that you said you kind of wanted to go to, but then you realized it was the day that you're hosting my birthday show, and then you're like, oh, I guess I'm not going.
I found the artist. It's Duran Bernard. Anyways, what show was on the day?
It was on the 16th, and we were chatting one day, and you said something about, oh, I was going to go to that, but oh, no, then I realized it's your birthday show, and I can't go.
I'm looking on my calendar. I don't see it. I don't remember. Okay. There's so many show dates, Jesse. It's crazy. Even this weekend, I'm missing Flume and Aluna and Jungle, all three artists I really wanted to see.
I was missing the other day. Duran was here in Sacramento.
Oh, shit.
And I was like toying with the idea of like, well, let me ask Shannon if I could go up early and then just leave that show and go to the concert.
The things that we try and do for music and comedy.
And then that's the day I got COVID and
oh, no.
I didn't do any of it. And I just sat at home going, God, that's why I get for trying to scheme my way out of like this to go but to a concert. And
also like sometimes life gives you a forced break. That's good.
It was very much a forced break because like, I started feeling icky on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, I was like, oh, wait, these are COVID symptoms. Mm-hmm. I better test.
Yeah.
And I had to sit home Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched so many movies and, like, binged podcasts. Like, look at this house. I fucking love my house. There's so much shit everywhere just to keep me occupied. And, like, I could dive into a pile of records. I could dive into a pile of DVDs. I can dive into a pile of laundry. <You know? laughs> So it really was a really nice forced break.
Yeah. Sometimes I kind of like am fortunate for those, even though COVID sucks. You're like, oh, well, it's okay to be home for a few days, I guess.
Yeah. Are you at the point where you're not going to open mics as much just because you do so much work on your shows? Like, are you not, do you not do open mics a lot? Because I don't do a lot of open mics, maybe one every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't do a lot. It's kind of a mixed reason, partly just because I have a full-time job in social work, so I'm a little bit mentally taxed sometimes. But also, yeah, with running shows and just being out already so much in the month, adding an open mic to it, would be a lot, but I try and go to some, I try and support, the ones that I feel are really worth supporting. Like I really like Stab. I think that it's important to support Stab. I've been trying to hit Lexi's stand-up sesh. I've done like 3, I think, mm-hmm. which is a lot for me.
That does seem like a lot for you.
It is a lot for me. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's like on a Friday. So it's like, if I don't have a show going on that night, it's okay to go because I don't have to work the next day.
It's on a Friday and it's early, right? Like it starts like at 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. They're actually doing a really great job with that mic.
Yeah. Once again, Lexi is just fucking killing it. Like everything she does. I get so excited.
Yeah.
Lexi's coming back tomorrow morning.
Mm.
And we're doing top 5 Amy Winehouse songs.
Oh, cool.
So it's not going to be about comedy. It's just going to be about our love of Amy Winehouse.
That's fun.
That we talked about. We talked about Amy during our podcast. And excuse me. And then I think it was during our podcast that Lexi mentioned that she was going to go away to college. And I was like, what the fuck? You were about to be my new best friend. And you're
leaving.
Oh, I didn't
realize she was leaving.
Yeah, she's leaving for college like the 26th or something like that.
Oh, so this is just the Lexi fan club podcast now? It's just for Lexi.
And we're doing top 5 Amy Winehouse songs. I'm super excited about that. Lots of comedy, lots of stuff. You're hosting my birthday show. I'm so excited about that.
I'm excited too. I really like hosting because it's a chance for me to be like very much my myself and my style. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like everybody has to just accept it. You know, like,
I'm in charge.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, you know, when you go and do a spot at a show and they don't like your jokes or they don't like who you are. They're just kind of like, okay, next.
Or also like you go and you do your spot at a show. You're like, oh, I had my 7-10 minutes. Like, yeah. They either liked me or they didn't. But when you're hosting, you have this opportunity to like, you go up, you come back, and you think about what just happened, and you're like, this went well, this didn't go well,
yeah,
that joke bombed, okay, let me go back, and you get to go in. It's redemption. Like, it's like you get like four quarters of I almost said four quarters of baseball. It's like you get four quarters of a sport, and you get a chance to,
yeah,
to make these in-game adjustments.
Totally.
Yep.
Get to win them over by the end.
Yeah. I'm stoked about the lineup I put together. And I remember I sent you the lineup and I was like, should we add? And you're like, no. I love that lineup.
Yeah, it's a really, really solid lineup.
It's really, it's like people that I want to see at a show, you know? Well, wow. And Lizzie just kind of, like, Lizzie Bowen kind of just came out of nowhere, like, on my radar. I did the same thing. I didn't ask her to drive, but I did the same thing with her that I did with you. I was like, I need to go on a road trip. Mm. I don't like anybody. I kind of, these are the people I don't like the least or the most or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
I kind of like these people. I think I can handle 2 hours in the car with them. And Lizzie and I drove to Chico one day and we just had an absolute blast.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely a white girl, so that makes sense.
I love it.
Because Lizzie's like a really cool, like, she's a white girl for sure.
Yeah.
White girl, yeah. Faux show. But yeah. She's really cool and easy to get along with. So I could see your white girl recognizing the white girl in her.
I love my white girls, man. Like, we gotta stick together. It's hard for us out here.
Yeah. It's so hard out here to be a white girl. Let me tell you. Oh, I'm just, man, struggling every day.
The struggle is for real. I went to Trader Joe's the other day, and they were out of my creamer. I had to go to the one on Folsom.
I stopped going to Trader Joe's because...
What?
Yeah, they discontinued the vegetable cellulose sponges that I liked, and I'm boycotting it now.
Maybe they didn't discontinue them, because, like, they're, like, a lot of Trader Joe's... Listen to me sticking up for Trader Joe's. A lot of their stuff is seasonal, and, like, they'll have it only.
Why would
a
sponge be seasonal?
I don't know, but...
You need a sponge all year round. I don't even want to go back to look.
If I see it, can I tell you, and then you'll give them another chance?
Yes.
All right.
They come in a pack of five, and they're yellow.
What was your other favorite thing about Trader Joe's?
That was it.
That was it. You weren't down.
They had good frozen food.
Trader Joe's isn't an East Coast thing, right?
Yeah, we had one, but we didn't have one until like more recently. Like, it was like 15 years ago, I think, that we got it. So I grew up without one, and then we got one, and it was in like the kind of like hoity-toity foo-foo part of town. So yeah. It wasn't
What are you talking about?
It was...
They're in same parts of town.
Yeah, like, exactly, like ESAC. It was, like, in our version of ESAC.
Okay, I get it.
And I grew up, like, in our version of South Sac.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's why you're so gritty. That's what I would call it. Hey, I have this question I like to ask people, and it's kind of inspired by our friend of the podcast, Amy Thompson.
Yeah.
Is it Thompson? Yeah, Thompson. But good friend of mine. What's her last name? Anyway. Amy has a show she's producing at the Callback Bar. I think the first show is September 17th, and it's called Dress to Kill. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about it, but I absolutely consider what I'm wearing on stage. One, because I want to look fly. One, I want to be comfortable. Two, I want to look cool. Mm-hmm. And how much do you think about what you're wearing on stage? Do you think about it at all, or is it part of what goes through your mind getting ready for a show?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think I would think about it as much as like other people probably typically do. I've just like really leaned into and like accepted the like Jess is a mess, the whole thing for me. Like, it's fine. I you know, you'll take me as I am. Uh-huh. And some days are better than others, right? Like, some days are just crazy and I have no time and I'm like, this is fine. We're showing up like this, but we're showing up. Other days I like will think very deeply about my clothes and stuff. But I guess like the number one thing is that if I feel uncomfortable just like standing in it, I know I'm going to feel 10 times more uncomfortable on the stage because I'm going to feel like super exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So wearing like crop tops or like short shorts or things like that, sometimes I have to think about for a while because I'm like, am I going to be like digging this out of my ass crack the whole time? You know, like that's not cute on stage.
It's not.
You can get away with it at a bar, but like you're on the stage and those lights, like you don't want to be.
And you got to do the real quick leg thing.
Yeah.
Like you got to do the quick leg scissor thing action to like.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I never thought about that.
A little squat, reverse pop, lock, and drop. Get it out.
Get it out. Have you ever not. Okay. This is a separate question. Have you ever not finished a set? Like just something went horribly bad, panic attack. I don't know. Someone said something and you just didn't finish a set.
I did that a lot, actually, in the beginning.
At open mics?
Yeah, at open mics. Mm. I abandoned, like, 3 minutes in, like, many times.
Like, straight up abandoned or walked off and didn't realize that you had not finished?
No, like, straight up was like, okay, I'm done. Bye. Because I didn't...
Where the host has to come running from
yes,
the back.
Yes.
That's the best.
Yeah, or I'll just, like, stand there, like, holding the mic out, and I'm like, okay, come now. I don't do that anymore, but I definitely did that for, like, the first month. Because I didn't realize that when you are starting to do things and, like, trying new jokes, like, that's exactly what it is. You're trying. And so when people, like, weren't 100% on board, I would feel, like, very, like, affected by that. And I'd be like, they're not liking this. They don't want, like, they want me to get off the stage. And I would be, like, convinced that it'd be better for them if I just, like, left. So I just kept leaving. And then eventually I was like, nah, fuck this. I'm going to stay up here and finish. And then, you know, you find your footing and it works.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome, awesome. I have this segment of the podcast that I like to call 5 Easy Questions. I sent them over to you. I don't know. Sometimes people look at them. Sometimes they don't. Either way, we're going to do it.
I did. I looked at
them. Oh, you looked at them?
I looked at them last night at the bar with my friends.
Nice. Did you like go over your answers with them or you were just looking at them?
Yeah. They asked me the questions and I answered them.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. So we like mocked a podcast at Golden Bear last night.
Nice. Nice. Okay. All right. So here we go. We're going to start 5 Easy Questions with Jess Harding. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Question number 1, Jess, who or what inspires you?
Okay, so now I'm forgetting his name. I'm like,
they're so inspirational.
Prepared.
They're so important to you.
The is the movie director that did Kids, Rory.
Oh.
Or no. What,
no.
Not
Kids
Rory.
Director was, dang it. Go ahead. Hold on.
I know. I always forget his name because it's kind of a weird.
Hey Siri, who directed the movie Kids?
Harmony Korine. Yeah. Okay. So I more kind of recently was like watching like some interviews and like documentaries of Harmony, and I really like him because he's fucking nuts, dude. Like he got his break kind of in a really random way, like through like some college project, and then he just went off the handles and did whatever he wanted, and people kind of co-signed it until they weren't anymore, and he just dug down even deeper, and I really appreciated that he just like has committed to this so deeply, and he's leveled out a little bit. He's less weird. He's got like a kid and stuff, but he just like skateboards with his old neighbor and just like chills and like makes weird movies.
I saw that of him. He's still a skateboarder.
Yeah.
And you saw Kids then, right?
Yeah.
How old were you? Where at what point in your life did you see Kids? Like where? Like did it leave you just like what the fuck? Or being from New York, were you like yeah?
No, yeah, it was cool, and I, it felt very much like a true representation of, like, kind of what went on.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, there was that movie that Jonah Hill did that was, like, almost like...
90s movie.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, so it was, like, very much like a spinoff of Kids.
I feel like it was.
It totally was, and... What's happening?
Nothing. Go ahead.
It's like, are we phoning in a friend?
No.
Is this Harmony Korine?
Guess what?
He's here.
Yeah. Mid-90s movie. What's it called? 90s movie?
I think it was called mid-90s.
This is the second time we've talked about this movie on this podcast.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
Because I absolutely love the ending of that movie when the one kid says, hey, I want to show you guys something. And he pops in the tape and yeah. He'd been recording the whole time.
Yeah.
man, because there was parts of that movie, just like kids, there was parts of that movie where I was like, eek, yeah. Oof, this is rough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It was a little cringy, but it was really like, that's what goes on.
Yeah, and at the end, like, you realize, oh, this is about fucking these group of fucking misfits who nobody would care about but themselves. Mm-hmm. And within themselves, they found the courage to make something beautiful.
That's also what's cool about the skate community.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you skate?
I used to. I mean, I would never call myself a skater. Let me just say that. But I was trying for a long time.
Do you currently own a board?
No. Okay. When I moved from New York, I got rid of it. But I actually traded in and got some quad skates. And
What are those?
I was doing that, like quad rollerblades.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I was doing that for a while, and then I busted my ankle, and I haven't gotten on them for a minute. But
what do you think you'll get back on sooner, a skateboard or a quads?
Quads, for sure.
Quads, for sure?
Quads seems are safer. More forgiving.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to move on. That was a great answer. Harmony Korine, kids.
Yeah.
It's a tough rewatch. Like, you got to be in a mood to rewatch that movie.
Yeah. And Gummo. He's a guy. He's definitely a guy.
What are you currently, and I know when we use this word, like we talk about like TV shows or TV series, but this could be like a book series, a podcast series, a fucking stand-up special series. What are you currently binging? Like, what are you currently, I can't get enough of this.
I'm terrible for this question because I'm not a big binger.
Okay.
Besides like donuts.
What's your favorite donut?
I like cheese sticks. Or just general food. Favorite donut? I love a blueberry donut.
Like, there's a dozen donuts. You're walking up to it, and you're hoping that there's a...
Either a blueberry or a sour cream.
Okay.
Like a cruller. Yeah. That's for me. But, like, media, I'm not, like, a huge binger. But I will say, I go hard for the library.
Really? You have a library card?
Yeah. I just recently got into it because I learned that Sac County has, like, the coolest library system ever. And we're, like, very, very highly funded. So it's more just than just books. Like, you can go and they have like thousands of board games and like card games. They have video game consoles. You can get a fucking lawnmower. They have,
what?
Yeah, they have sewing machines. They have like musical instruments.
I need a sewing machine right now.
Yeah. I go hard for the library because for me, I get like super bored. I'm always like doing a project or something. So I can just go to the library and like get anything. I can get like a book or a movie or a game or like a weird shaped cake pan. Like, it doesn't matter.
You're like the third or fourth person, not on the podcast, but just recently in hanging out with comics, mm-hmm. to praise the Sacramento County Library system.
It's incredible. It truly is.
There's one right up the street from me.
Yeah, there's a lot. They're very heavily sprinkled throughout, so there's access to a lot for everybody. It's good.
Do you have an actual library card or is it digital?
I lost it, but I have a little key thing here.
Oh, one of those little... Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to check out the library.
Yeah, you should. Everyone should go to the library. You can also get museum passes and California State Park passes.
What?
I know. What?
What? Did you
hear okay.
that? Okay. Did you hear that?
Little John.
Sorry. I can't go more than 30 minutes without talking to my dog.
I can't go more than 30 minutes without doing a Little John impersonation.
All right. Jess, what are you afraid of?
The ocean.
It's so massive.
I'm so scared of the ocean. I love the ocean. Like, I
like, you love the beach.
Admiration for it. Like, the ocean's incredible. Like, I love going to an aquarium. I love going to the beach. I love, like, I'm fascinated by oceanic creatures. But I'm also equally as terrified of it. And, like, the idea of just, like, being in the middle of the ocean. Like, if you ever, like, just jumped off a boat into the ocean with, like, a life jacket on, it is so frightening. I've done it. And I've, like, you know, snorkeled and did, like, sea turtles in Mexico and stuff. And it's so scary because I'm, like, the only thing that's stopping me from dying is absolutely nothing.
Right, yeah. I get this feeling of overwhelming dread anytime I'm just, like, staring at the ocean because it's just so massive.
Yeah, it's so big. It's very terrifying, deep.
And just imagine, like, all the secrets at the bottom of the ocean. Like, that's...
Well, they're still, like, to this day, still discovering...
Yeah.
Like, things that we didn't know about, which is wild.
And it's changing. It's, like, altering what we thought of, like, history. Or, like, oh, shit, there was a whole civilization here. Like, I don't know. I could talk about all that crap.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So I'm scared of the ocean.
The ocean, that's legit something to be...
But nothing else. I ain't scared of no ghosts.
You don't strike me as someone who's afraid of a lot of things. Like, no. You're a badass. What... is what I just saw this question. Oh, you're on death row. What would your last meal be?
Okay, so what I told my friends last night when I was going over this, they all made fun of me and told me not to say it. Because my answer was literally soup. Any soup.
Any soup? Not a particular soup? Like,
I just love
your grandma's recipe
soup.
Or like your recipe or...
Like, I really don't discriminate soups. But then they challenged me to think of it. So I decided some like really good ramen.
Oof.
Like handmade nudes, good scotch eggs, and bamboo shoots. Like, I wanted the whole thing. Yeah. Like a shoyu broth.
My favorite thing about ramen is the soft-boiled egg.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Where's your favorite ramen spot, Sacramento?
There's not that many.
Are we not doing ramen right?
It's, like, it's better than where I was from, but it's still not as good as, like, L.A. But I would have to say Kodaiko.
Okay.
Kodaiko's very solid.
All right. Where are they located? What, is that Midtown?
They're downtown. They're on K Street.
Okay.
Like close, kind of almost to Doko.
All right. All right.
Yeah. They're solid. I would like 10 out of 10 recommend, actually.
All right. Got it. Got it. Ramen.
Mm-hmm.
That, I could fuck with ramen.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you have like laughed if I had said like Marichan ramen? Like instant ramen?
Yeah. You're like, you had the cheese.
Yeah.
You're like, the secret.
Tabasco.
The secret is two packets.
Yeah. I just eat it dry.
Oh, man. The next question is kind of similar, but I changed it a little bit to go along with the new theme of the podcast of what's next. Question number five, Jess Harding, what's next for you? What are you looking forward to? What are you moving on to? What's your next big project? What's next?
So, I'm actually going to be taking a little comedy break soon.
Okay.
And it always scares people when I say that because they're always like, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is wrong at all. I actually really love taking breaks. And I've taken like a few weeks off here and there. But I'm going to take like a few months this time. And I'm actually really looking forward to like kind of grounding myself and getting back to feeling very me. And then I'm like stoked for when that's over and I come back to comedy and I'm feeling like refreshed. Cause I already know like during that time, I'm going to be thinking of things and like writing. And I'm really excited to like get back into like the essence of myself again.
During your break, can we meet for ramen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I'll show you Kodaiko.
Yeah, yeah, that's when I'll go because I'll forget by the time this podcast is over where you say.
Yeah.
All right.
So good.
Jess, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you
for being who you are and everything you've done. Did you say everything you kind of wanted to say? Is there anything you wanna touch on or like? Is there like a message for the audience or are you good? What do you got
to
say?
Am I allowed to plug my nonprofit?
You are absolutely allowed to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay.
Go for it. What's your nonprofit?
I really want to plug my nonprofit. So I run a used bookstore. It's under LSS. It's a housing program. But the bookstore is run by transitional age youth who either are or were experiencing homelessness. And they come and learn how to like have a job. And they run the bookstore. And it's beautiful and amazing. And I learned so much from them. And we run our sales online, so you can buy books or support us at anovelidea-lss.com. You can also check us out in person. If you act cool, act right, you can hit me up.
Awesome. Awesome. Where do you get the books from? Do people just donate them?
Yeah, we have a few individuals and like churches and stuff that do book drives for us, and we get huge, like thousands of books donated at a time.
Wow.
Yeah. That excuse me.
Do you go through the books and get dibs?
Yeah. I mean, I do.
Are you an avid reader?
I do like to read. I try not to take books from there though because it gets out of control because it's just too easy. You know, like it's so easy. All the youth like sort through all the books and value them on the online marketplace to see kind of what they're worth, and if they're under a certain amount, we don't keep it because. It would cost us more in shipping
to
do it. So, like, a lot of those, like, bestsellers and, like, mass
produced. What do you do with those? You just, like, take them to the Goodwill?
We actually have a partnership with a few different organizations. One of them is Prisoners Literature Project. They send books to incarcerated people. So we give them a lot of books and help them distribute. And then we also give books to the Sacramento Friends of the Library because they have a similar set up to us. They sell books in like a warehouse over in the like off of Power in like the industrial park there.
Yep.
So they're cool. You should check them out too. But yeah, between them and like the youth also take them. And we also fill the library for like our AOD, Addiction and Recovery Program.
What? Yeah. Jess, you're doing so much great stuff. How did you get involved in that? What made you start books? Like why books?
I truly don't even know how I got here. Like it's,
those are the best stories.
Yeah, it's kind of like comedy where I just like woke up one day and I was like deep in it and I was like, damn. No, I had some friends that worked for LSS previously, and I just kind of like was into what was going on, and they had this business running but under a different name and like a different kind of face to it. It was different. But then when COVID hit, they had nobody running it. It kind of just like fell stagnant for a while. So they wanted someone to come up and like, you know, dig it out of the hole and reface it. So I came on and we started calling it A Novel Idea. And we created our website, kind of like forged some new partnerships. I go to a market on Thursdays at Cesar Chavez Plaza and do like a book pop up there with it.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be ending soon, but you can still catch us through the end of September.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jess, that's, man, you're a great human being. I'm so glad we're friends. I'm so glad we're partnering up on some stuff. And
yeah.
I'm just glad for you to be here today.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, I appreciate you.
Thanks. All right, man. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
The podcast. Models Thank you.
Have.
Bye.